as we were praying into today, I felt the Lord. So today's going to be a little bit different, as Pastor Fola said, a little bit different than you may be used to. Shira and I love ministering together. We love just tagging each other. And so when she wants to say something, she'll smack me with a mic. No, not quite. She will, take over, and then I'll say something. So to start, I want to just deliver a portion of a prophetic word that the Lord's given me for Love Assembly. The Lord said to me, first I want to ask you these questions. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, can a nation be saved in a day? Can a nation be saved in a day? And Pastor Fuller, in the just before the declaration, he said, do you believe what you are declaring? Job 22. Acquaint now, verse 21 on. Acquaint now yourselves with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth and lay up the words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up and you shall put away iniquity far from your tabernacles. Then shall you lay up the gold as dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty shall be your defense and you shall have plenty of silver. For then your Almighty shall be your delight and shall lift up your face unto God. You shall make your prayer unto him and he shall hear you and you shall pay your vows. You shall also decree a thing and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. The word says that. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. So today, I'm decreeing over Love Assembly. Love Assembly, a nation can be saved in a day. Love Assembly, when the disciples were in the upper room prior to Pentecost, they could not imagine what would happen the next day. There's a shift happening over you, Love Assembly, in this time. And the shift will be sudden. The Lord has led you and separated you. The Lord has separated you from distraction, separated you from other voices, has led you to the backside of the desert for a season. This is your season of encounter. As Moses encountered the burning bush, this is your season of encounter. The Lord has positioned you as a body and has positioned you in a place of encounter.
Amen. Amen. I want to just pick up on that and talk a little bit about encountering God. Because if we are in Christ, it means we can encounter God as often as we like. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for God has raised us up to be seated with him in Christ in heavenly places. You know, those aren't just words in a book. Being seated with Christ in heavenly places. Do you know that you have access to heaven? Do you know that? Because Christ rose from the dead, he ascended to the Lord, he made the way for us to actually partake in the heavenly encounters. And so I want to share with you an encounter that I had some years ago, and I'll bring it to the relevance for today. Because God doesn't want us just to encounter him for a good time. He wants us to impart that to the world, that the world may know who Christ is. So an encounter in the heavenly places needs to be earthed. Okay. So there was a man that came to our church years ago. I was in South Africa. And he said this, that everyone has access to heaven. If you are a child of God, you're born again, you have access to heaven. And you know, I went away and I thought, you know what, I'm hungry for that. I want that. I'm thirsty for an encounter with heavenly places. Are you? Because you can have it. But you need to desire it. You need to be hungry for it. You need to go away today and say, God, I want that. I want to encounter heaven. So I went to sleep one night. This was a few weeks after this man came. And I went to sleep. And at about 12 o'clock, I was woken up. And it sounded like angels were in my room. They were saying, come on, come on, come on, get up. And I thought, what is this? I was awake, just awake, awake, awake. And suddenly I found myself being taken up. And I found myself in heaven. And as I got there, Jesus met me. And Jesus appeared to me like this brilliant, brilliant light. I could see his outline and this brilliant light. I can't explain it. It wasn't sunlight. It wasn't electric light. It was this brilliant light of his presence. And as I saw Jesus, I saw myself. Because often we don't know what we look like until we encounter the one who really sees us. And what I saw was I was in rags. All my dress was like rags. And I had these big fat scars on my body. Big fat scars. And the scripture that popped into my mind was, your good works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. And I thought, God, why have I got all these rags? Anyway, I was weeping before the Lord. But the compassion of God that poured out of the light was just overwhelming. And whatever fear I had just melted with the compassion of God. And Jesus reached out to touch me on my arm here. I had a big scar. And I thought to myself, this is going to be painful. So I pulled back like this. But his love just continued to come towards me. And he touched my arm. And as he touched my arm like this, it was like laser light went into my body. Wasn't painful at all. I knew Jesus had touched me. You see, when Jesus touches you, you're never the same again. You need one touch. You know, the woman touched Jesus' garment and was healed. You just need Jesus to touch you once. You will never be the same again. Anyway, I found myself back asleep in my bed. The next morning, I probably woke at about 6. And as I opened my eyes, I had a vision. And on my wall was the back of Jesus with all the scars and all the wounds on his back. They were bleeding down my wall. And I was weeping. The realization was this, that I'd done that to Jesus. It was our sin that caused him to go to the cross, to be beaten, to be whipped, you know, whipped. And I realized, this is my fault. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said to me, put your hand in my wound. And I didn't want to initially. But as I stuck my hand into the wound of Jesus, Jesus said to me this, I touched you, you touched me. Now go and heal the sick. And they will be healed in the name of Jesus. So I was working as a nurse in a family planning clinic, very busy. I went to work that day in the afternoon. Still just wiping my tears away, I went to work. And I worked in a very busy family planning clinic with about, 800 Muslims. And so the first patient came in. She sat down and she said, sister, I've got a headache. And out of my mouth came these words, you didn't sleep very well last night, did you? In fact, you haven't been sleeping very well. And with that, she burst into tears. And I said to her, have you heard of Jesus? Out of my mouth came these words, have you heard of Jesus? She said, yes, I have. So I said, well, God wants you to accept him as your savior today. And she gave her life to the Lord, just like that. And the thing is, she got discipled. She wasn't just left there. The next lady came in, also a Muslim lady. And as she came in, I felt like weeping with the compassion of the Lord, because what I saw was she was carrying this massive load on her shoulders and on her head. And I said, "You're carrying a very big weight. Oh, I want to get rid of that for you." And with that, she started crying. She said, "I've got a terrible headache." And her story began to unfold. And I said to her, "Look, I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." So I went and I wanted to pray a very gentle prayer, you know. But I became wild when I prayed for her. I was like cutting things off, and I was like a lioness that had been released. But the thing is, she ran out of there very fast. 2 months later, she came back. Her face had changed. I didn't even recognize her. She said to me, "I have to tell you what happened." She said, "That day you prayed for me," she said, "I saw Jesus the light." And I said to her, "It sounds like you've become a Christian." She said, "No, I'm a Muslim." But the point is, she had encountered Jesus the light, which I'd encountered in the heavenly places. Can you see what I'm saying? Is the heavenly places actually got earthed, and God began to do some stuff. Anyway, so coming to today, the Lord reminded me of this encounter that I had, because I was reading in Revelation chapter 1, where John had an encounter of Jesus, and he describes Jesus in John chapter 1. And I was reading it, and the Lord said to me, "Why are you reading John's encounter of me when you had your own encounter of me?" And I thought, and as God asked me that question, he took me back into that vision that I had years ago. And when I was there, the Lord said to me, "Now, can you lay that encounter down so that I can give you a new encounter?" Because we can be stuck in the encounters of yesterday. And God is saying, "Can you lay them down, of who you know Jesus to be, so that he can give you a new and a fresh encounter of him?" And as I laid that vision down and that encounter with the Lord, immediately Jesus poured honey on my head, and it began to just run down with such a healing anointing. So my encounter with Jesus on the cross and Jesus as the light brought healing to me, but also to others. But this new encounter I've had is of honey, which is also speaks of healing, because the Lord says, "Taste and see that I'm good." And we need to be healed in order that we may be a healing balm to others. And in this community, God needs to see that, they need to say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you met that person? She's overflowing with honey." Because when God pours out, it overflows and it doesn't stop. So,
as we were praying about today, the Lord gave me two visions. And the first one was, I saw Love Assembly, everybody within Love Assembly gather together and position themselves in this place of encounter. And you were standing with Pastor Fola and Mama Wura. I'm standing, and then with the elders and the leaders within the church, and everybody was gathered and had positioned themselves like in a form of a V, but you weren't moving this way with the V. You were standing looking inward as the church, and you were aware that there was something happening. The Lord had brought you into a place of encounter. You were aware that there was something happening, and the impression that I got in there, the feeling that I had within the vision, was that you were expecting a birthing. You were expecting a birthing, something new to break forth. And then I saw this vortex, this tornado form, and it was sucking in from the outside, sucking in from the outside, but it wasn't bringing destruction. What it was doing, it was sucking those that were on the fringes into the place of encounter, into the presence. And I felt the Lord say, the season of passengers has come to an end. The season of passengers has come to an end. As we were worshiping at the back, I experienced this opening of a well within Love Assembly. And there's what Cheryl said about taste and see that the Lord is good. That then led us through this place of encounter and why we actually made this prophetic declaration for Love Assembly. Beginning of this week, I was praying, just spending a time with the Lord, and I said it would be so amazing if we could take a prophetic image with us of what you are doing in this time within Love Assembly. And I walked through into the bedroom, and Cheryl said, "Oh, look what I found." This was lying in us in the storeroom, and I went, "Wow!" Because we've done something like this for a prophetic event that we're doing in June in St. Helens. And she said, "Look at what I found." And the Lord immediately told us what to do with it. When we, as Africans, and you may look and go, "That Marungu, he's a white man. He's not African." But as you can hear, I'm not from the UK. I'm from South Africa. So born in South Africa. So I'm also African. I said to somebody, we were going to go and do a missions trip from into Zimbabwe and Zambia. And I said to this person, I said, "Do you know, we went and spent 2 weeks in Africa. Or we went and spent 2 months in Africa." So the person looked at me and said, "Where are you now?" I was in South Africa. I went, "Actually, I'm in Africa." So as Africans, when we hear the word colonization, it sometimes brings up a negative understanding with us. But I want to tell you, this is the season of colonizing. Because with colonizing, the reason why this is a season of colonizing and what the Lord wants to do with you as Love Assembly and within his body, and I honestly believe, as I said that, I honestly believe that you are pioneers in what the Lord wants to do. You are pioneers. There's a hunger within your hearts that, and not just within one or two of you, there's a hunger within your hearts that is feeding off each other. And as we carry on just sharing what the Lord has given to us, we'll explain how that works and why that is significant in this time. But in the place of colonizing, because that's what you've been called to do within this region, is colonize this region. And when a nation or when a group of people go in to colonize, what they go in to do is they go in to take a presence, take an understanding, and change a mindset within the region. The Lord has positioned you to colonize, not just Toxteth, to colonize Liverpool, but there will be some of you that will actually create, that will move out from Liverpool and go and colonize other places. But I want to tell you, there are people sitting here that think, "Not me." And Cheryl mentioned, "Not me," because you don't know who I am and you don't know what I've done. I want to tell you, God knows who you are, but he doesn't remember what you've done. When the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment and he turned, she was known to everybody else as the woman with the issue of blood. But he looked at her and he said, "My daughter." He looked at her in a place of identity, not in the place of past. You are being mobilized in the place of your identity, not in the place of your past. There's some of you here, and I'm not going to go into this now, but there's some of you here that are actually experiencing a transition of that which you've carried in the past to that which you're carrying now and to that which you're going to carry tomorrow. And I'm saying tomorrow because you are in a place of sudden transition. I want to bring what I'm saying now to what the Lord has given us. In this place of colonization, there are certain things that need to happen. And one of them is cross-pollination. And the analogy that we've got here today is bees, because they're probably the greatest cross-pollinators of all the, in the insect community, in the insect realm. But there's so much more that we can learn from them prophetically for what the Lord is doing in this time. So bees individually have a purpose. So individually, their purpose is to go from flower to flower and cross-pollinate from flower to flower. And without that positioning, without them doing that, that cannot happen. But then something really interesting happens is with that cross-pollination, because without that, the fruits cannot come forth. Because the fruit comes from the pollination of the flower. The new seed comes from the pollination of the flower. So on this image over here, on this image that the Lord's given us here, what this is, it's the image of a beehive, if you can see that. It's the image of a beehive. So the bees coming from the flowers and entering the hive, and then the interior bees creating the honey. On there is 9 large hexagons. And the 9 large hexagons are the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That as we operate within the gifts, so we produce the fruit. And the fruit then produces the nectar. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The fruit produces the nectar. So let's explain how this happens. So I want to explain how this happens. So the bees go, and as they encounter a flower, so there's pollen that is attached to them. So we all know, most of us know this. There's pollen that is attached to them. They then go to the next flower, and there's pollen that is attached to them. So if that analogy, so that's individually, that's the bee's function. But then the bees have a corporate function. Okay. But let's stick on this individual function quickly. So what is happening here today is there's a cross-pollination happening here today. Because this bee has positioned himself next to this bee. And the gifts that I carry is now cross-pollinating. If you receive a prophet in the office of a prophet, you receive the reward of a prophet. If you position yourself next to the fruit that somebody carries, you receive the cross-pollination of that fruit. The Lord needs you to mobilize. There's no passengers anymore. He needs you to mobilize in this season to position yourself next to believers and unbelievers. So in not just in the church, but outside the church, in the world, because how will they know unless you go? How will they hear unless you speak? Jesus walked up to the well in Samaria, and he says to his disciples, "I'm hungry." I'm paraphrasing now. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. "I'm hungry." Disciples go, "Let's just rest over here. We'll go and get something for you." But the word says that Jesus did nothing that he didn't see the Father do, and he said nothing he didn't hear the Father say. So as he was approaching that well, he saw the encounter with the woman at the well. He saw the cross-pollination that needed to happen there that day. When he spoke to her, he knew that the Father had already positioned her for a place of encounter as his daughter. There are people that have been positioned in a place of encounter that are waiting for you to come and stand next to them. So the bees go from flower to flower, and they go and they gather the pollen on their bodies, which is something that that happens, but it's not something they're consciously doing. Allow God to move you. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Allow God to move you in the season without, I want to almost say without thinking. Allow Holy Spirit to lead you. Hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So the bees go from flower to flower and they pollinate, but at the same time they are gathering nectar. Now what I'm about to say now may gross some of you out because we love honey, okay? But I trust that it won't. Do you know how honey is formed? Bees then come, take that nectar, and they have within them something called a honey stomach. They then go, fly to their hive, and they then transfer that nectar to another bee. That then goes into their honey stomach. That is then transferred to the next one, down the chain, into the center of the hive, where the impurities and the moisture content of that nectar is reduced until it produces honey. One bee cannot do that. We need the hive. One person can press into the Lord for an encounter, but the age of one man or one woman ministries has passed. It is now the corporate. It's all of us together that go and produce the sweetness of the Word of God to nourish, to consume the Word and release that honey. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah, sometimes God may give you a word, and just like that bee, you need to chew on it. The Bible says that we need to meditate on the word day and night. So if you have received a word from God, you need to meditate and chew on it so that it may become sweet when you deliver it. In Ezekiel, it speaks about Ezekiel. He was an Old Testament prophet. He had a vision of God, and one of them was he saw a scroll. And God said to him, eat the scroll. And he ate it, and it became bitter in his stomach. But then it was as sweet as honey in his mouth. So even if God shows you something which is negative, and it can be bitter, God, as you meditate on the word of God, God can cause something sweet to come out of your mouth. And I believe the Lord, the world, is looking to the church for the sweetness of God to be released through our lives. So when you're challenged in situations in your workplace where you want to become bitter, yes, we need to forgive, we need to release, but allow God's word to take root in your life so that sweetness can come out of your mouth, kindness can come out of your mouth. And that is displaying that when God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That is what God wants to reveal to the people all around us, to each other and to all around us. But one thing I also want to say, if you want another scripture, I'm going to give it to you. John chapter 15. God says to us, we are to abide in the vine. We are to live together in community. We are to remain in the word, remain in the love of God. And what does it say? You will bear forth much, much more fruit. I believe the much, much more fruit is a corporate anointing. So it's when you find your place, like the bees, working together, with rubbing up against each other, imparting to one another, that actually something is produced that is going to transform the community around us.
So let's carry on just what Cheryl has said there. Let's carry on and having a look at the life of the bees. How is a honeycomb formed? The bees produce like a waxy substance. They then take that. There's a waxy substance that's produced in this whole process. The bees then go and generate. So with their body heat, they go and take that wax and they mold it into the honeycomb, into a perfect hexagon. But how do they do that? Do they take it and they use their mouths or their whatever you call it, and they position it? No, it's on their bodies. That little hole is made with their body. How many little holes are there in a hive? One bee can't do that. It takes the hive to do that. The honey cannot be stored. The honey cannot be stored and then enjoyed without the hive. But the bees come, so it's the presence of the bee, the function, the presence of the worker bee within the hive, that the heat that is generated by the bee that melts that wax and makes it pliable in order to form that perfect hexagon within the hive. So, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for mobilizing us today. I want to thank you for mobilizing us today. I want to thank you for stirring us into this place of encounter. Father, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Father, I want to ask, is there anyone who needs healing here today? Just put up your hand, or stand up, actually. Is there anyone who needs healing in your physical body, your emotional, any kind of healing? Because part of mobilizing and coming into an encounter is also you need to be healed in order to be mobilized. So, and God wants to pour out a healing balm today. So, yeah, just stand, and I'm going to pray for a healing anointing like honey that's going to come, like the light of God. So, Father, I want to thank you for your healing balm today. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world. Would you come and shine where there's darkness? Father, would you shine your light? Would you bring revelation to the hearts of people? And Father, I'm asking, would you come with a touch, one touch from your presence today, Father, can heal their bodies, heal their bodies. And Father, I'm asking, would you pour out that honey anointing upon them from the top of their heads to the bottom of their toes today? We release your healing anointing in Jesus' name.
Father, in Mark 16, it says that, and this was after your ascension, Jesus, it says that you accompanied the disciples, confirming the word with signs, wonders, and miracles. This was after your ascension. So, Father, I want to thank you for accompanying this word today and accompanying the prayer that Cheryl just released over every person standing now and confirming the word with signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, I want to declare over every single womb and every single couple that has cried out for you, to you, cried out for that fruitfulness within their wombs to bring forth new life. And I declare over them now, life. Life. I'm calling forth that new life. Thank you, Father. Every single ailment and every single disease, Father, that issue with the feet, I declare them now in the name of Jesus be healed. Father, those migraines cease in the name of Jesus. The tension in her neck or in his neck now, I declare be eased and be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, that heart condition, be healed in the name of Jesus. Rhythm return to normal. In the name of Jesus. Father, I rebuke the diabetes. Father, as the woman with the issue of blood touched your garment, Jesus, I now take this person or people and I bring them into that place of encounter and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I want to speak to anyone who's got eye conditions. And I want to pray, Father, would you release your healing balm upon eyes today? Physical eyes, but also spiritual eyes. And Father, I pray for an opening of eyes to see in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for people's ears, that ears would pop open to hear the Word of God, to hear the voice of God, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Father, and I want to repent on behalf of anybody who's taken ownership of sickness, who's taken ownership of disease by saying, I have this, or I have that. Father, I repent, and I pray that those words will be removed. Father, because the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, as you went through the cross into the tomb, you said to us, come with me. I want to give you a blood transfusion. And the blood that we carry, so any form of cancer now, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You do not have authority within their bodies. And I rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. You do not have authority anymore. Spirit of death, be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to pray for some people here today that maybe are struggling to know where you fit in. And it can also be a work situation. So if that's you, you're struggling to know where you fit in to this church family or a work situation that you're facing, I would like you to stand. I would like to pray over you. Father, I want to thank you today that you are the God of divine placements. And Father, I want to rebuke a spirit of rejection off these people in the name of Jesus. I want to prophesy open doors before them. And Father, I want to declare favor upon their lives. And Father, I pray for a divine positioning in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, for divine connections in the Spirit to come into their lives. Or even if they're in their lives, show them who those people are. Father, and I pray for a divine fitting. Some of you have felt like a square trying to fit into a round hole. So, Father, I pray for those people a relocation in the Spirit, a repositioning in the Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would cause them to be like honey in their workplace or wherever you position them, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Father, and as they have stood now, and even those that have not stood, Father, I bind them. Your word says that the key of David has been placed, and what we bind shall be bound in heaven, and what is loosed. Father, and I want to declare over each one of them, I bind the healing balm of Gilead to their lives, where they have been wounded by words that have been spoken in their workplace. Father, where words and burdens have been placed upon them, where they are carrying stuff which is not theirs to carry, we cut that off now. We strip it away in the name of Jesus. We cut those ties and those restrictions off in the name of Jesus. Father, and I want to declare over every single child that wanted to stand for an understanding of their position and where they find themselves going forward, I pray for encounter now over every single child who desires to know where they fit in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, I just want to pray and release a blessing upon each person here today. Father, I pray that you would cause a hunger and a thirst and a desire for you like never before. I pray, Father, that your word would become like honey to their lips, not something dry, that you would begin to water some people. Some of you sitting here have felt like you've been in a very long desert. and you are very, very thirsty. But it's almost like you don't even know that you're thirsty yet. So, Father, I pray that you would stir up the thirst, you would stir up the hunger, and, Father, that you would meet them with your word, pour it out like honey upon their lips. Father, I pray that this church will become contagious, not with a virus, but with honey, with an anointing from your word that is released into the streets. And, Father, I want to call forth people in this neighborhood to come and see that the Lord is good, to come and see. We call them in from the north, south, east, and west. Come in and see that the Lord is good in the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen. Father, and as we close, I just want to pray that you'll speak to every single person here about alignments. Father, I pray that if there are any wrong alignments for the season that you're taking them into, if there's any wrong alignments for where you're taking Love Assembly, I pray that you'll speak to them, because alignment, correct alignment, brings blessing, not just upon them, but upon others as well. Joseph aligned, and the nation was blessed, but also his family that had rejected him was blessed. Daniel aligned, and others were blessed. So, Father, I release and declare that over them now in the name of Jesus.